Lord, we just thank you that you are a great God and that you care for us and love us so much, Lord, that we, last week, we got to celebrate you the resurrection, Lord, so that we could have life eternal, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you just be with everyone that is here, Lord, everyone who couldn't be here this morning. Lord, just be with them, Lord. Just give them comfort and peace in their life, Lord, and draw them to you. Lord, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, this is something or an important subject within our churches and where a lot of people get really mixed up in our world today that they don't think that Christians want them here. Folks, and we want to welcome people here because grace is for all. Grace is not just for me and it's not just for you, but it is for everyone. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It is forever or for everyone. And that's what I've seen a guy. I've seen this shirt years ago, but there's a guy that I watch on Facebook, some of his stuff, and he's a pastor in North Carolina, and he had this shirt on yesterday whenever I seen him, or the video I seen yesterday. He said that I am whosoever, and that's what you are too. You are whosoever. Whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. And I pray that you have done that today, and if you have not, that today would be that day that you would give your life to the Lord and that you would join his family because you are welcome here. We don't care what you have done in the past. We don't care what you are doing, what you did last night, what you have done this morning before you come to church. We don't care. God can forgive you of your sins and he can give you mercy and grace, and he is wanting and desiring to save you. What does Jesus say? I have come to seek and to save those which are lost, those that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. And I pray this morning that you know Jesus, that you have that relationship, because just as that song that we just sang, how great is our God. Our God is higher than anything around. Our God is higher than all. There is none beside him. There is none below him. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and he is here for you today to worship him. And I pray that you have done that this morning. We don't come to church on Sunday morning to get an inspirational sermon, because you're probably not going to get much inspirational sermons from me. We come together to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ corporately as a body. And that's what we should desire to do today. And we should be welcoming people and encouraging people to come and to be a part of his body. I love this picture, of this title slide here, where it has the mountain, then it has a big gulf there, and then it has another other side of the mountain. And what's in between the two? The cross. I know it just, you can't see the whole thing, but it's a cross there. And that's how you get across that gulf from your old life to your new life, to who you are in Christ once you cross over the cross. Because the cross is what made the difference. The cross is where the blood was shed. The cross is where your sins were forgiven. The cross is what makes you available or able to come to Jesus Christ and to have eternal life with him. And you can see there's different witnessing tools and different witnessing little diagrams that you can use. And this is one of them that you see where there's the walk and then there's the big gulf. There's the big ravine that you can't cross until Jesus Christ died on that cross. And I pray that you have received that. And that's why he has that there for everyone that will cross over that cross, that will put their trust and their faith in Him this morning. So as we go to John chapter 4, verse 1 through 30, and I know that's a lot, but this is such a great story of the woman at the well. And we can see some of the background, and this is just one story. There's multiple stories. There's the woman that was caught in adultery. There is this woman, you know, that is, had five husbands, and now she is living with another man that's not her husband. You know, these ones that were outcasts within their communities, that they thought there was no hope, that no one loved them, but Jesus loved them, and He came to them, and He gave them eternal life. And He does that for us today also. So if we'll turn to John chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself did not baptize but His disciples, He left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But He needed to go through Samaria. So He came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, you know, near the plot of ground where Jacob," who do we just finish with in the book of Genesis, Jacob, "and Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from His journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour," so the sixth hour is noon. So the first hour of the day is at daybreak. So the first hour is at 6 o'clock in the morning, so 6 hours from there is noon. So just a little bit of information of where this is. "So a woman of Samaria came to drink water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to Him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?' For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would ask Him, and He would give you living water.' And the woman said to Him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?' Jesus answered and said to her, 'Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life.' And the woman said to Him, 'Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw.' And Jesus said to her, 'Go, call your husband and come here.' And the woman answered and said, 'I have no husband.' And Jesus said to her, 'You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband, in that you spoke truly.' And the woman said to Him, 'Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our father was worshipped in the mountain, and the Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth.' And the woman said to Him, 'I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And at this point, the disciples came and they marveled at why he, or that he was talking to a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking to her? And the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I had ever done. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. Lord, we just come before you, Lord. Just thank you for all that you have done for us, Lord. Lord, just help guide us and direct us, Lord, in your word. Lord, let us draw near to you, Lord, and see that you, Lord, are available to anyone that will come to you, Lord, and give their life, Lord. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, and this is such a wonderful and graceful story that the Lord gives to us today to show us, you know, that he is available to all. That even this woman, so kind of a little background here, is the Jews and the Samaritans did not like each other. The Samaritans were half Jew, half Gentile. So the Jews did not look at them. They actually called them dogs, sinners. They were apart from what they considered to be part of the family of God. That they had no hope with them because they were not Jews or they did not do the custom of the Jews. And the Jews that day, if they had to go somewhere, they would go around Samaria in order to get there. They would not go through it because they thought that ground was no good because of who lived there. They would go through a place called the King's Highway. You know, but Jesus said, and he told his disciples, and I'm sure they were a little bit confused whenever he said, we have to go through Samaria. And they were probably thinking, wait, Jews don't go through Samaria. Jews go around Samaria because we don't have any dealings with them people. And is that how we act sometimes in our own lives whenever we look at people and we say, you know, they're not like us. We have no dealings with them. Let's walk around and let's walk on the other side of the street. And let's go down the street on this side because we don't want to walk by them because they're not like us. And we have that mentality, or people have that mentality in their mind that Christians are like that. And unfortunately, some Christians do act like that. And we should not be named among them. We should be ones that loves everyone because every man, woman, and child is God created. God created them in his own image. He breathed life into them. They are special to him, so they should be special to us. So the first thing here, you know, the invitation of Jesus, you know, is to breaking barriers. There are barriers up in the world in which we live in, and we need to break them barriers down with Jesus. We can't break them down on our own, man. We need Jesus to do this work. In verse 9 of this passage, it says, and the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman? And the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. So in this passage, you know, Jesus was breaking the barrier down because this woman had a mentality, or she had a thought process to say that Jews had no dealings with people like her. And that's what people look at us today and say, well, they don't want anything to do with me because, you know, I've had problems in the past. You know, I've made mistakes. You know, I'm a sinner. You know, I do all these things. And them Christians, you know, they just think they're perfect. Man, Christians are not perfect by any means. Man, we are saved by grace just like anyone else is saved by grace. We are all equal at the bottom, at the foot of the cross, you know, because Christ died for all of us as sinners. We were all sinners. And we shouldn't look at someone because they have a different sin than what we have. Because they struggle with different things than what we struggle with. Well, they're worse because they struggle with this. Or they struggle with that. And I have no problem with that. But guess what? You have your own problems. And sin is sin. Wherever it goes, whatever it is what separates you from a loving God. It's the reason that you had to give your life to Him and let His grace forgive you. And that's something we need to look at in our own life, is breaking down barriers, not building walls around us. We need to show people the love of Jesus. And that is something that should radiate out of us, that people may see Him on a daily basis. And we should offer them something. Now, I love this part of the passage, especially, you know, that what should we do with this invitation of Jesus to offering living water. Man, that's what we are to give people, is living water. In verse 10, it says, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and drank it as and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would ask of Him and He would give you living water. And listen to this. And the woman said to Him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, you know, just take this verse, circle this verse, remember this verse or these next two words especially. He says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. We can go to the faucet in the back. We can go to the water that we buy in the bottles today. We can go, and I seen this thing the other day, you know, about 80s kids. Who in here is an 80s kid? You know, we drank from water hoses. And, you know, they think it'll kill you now. Water hoses ain't going to kill you. He said the worst thing about water hose, you got to run it a few minutes. And they said, why, to get all the germs out? He goes, no, because it's scalding hot whenever it comes out. You got to let it cool off first. Mike, you know about that, don't you? I know about it. You know, we know about that scalding hot water that comes out of them water hoses. But we, in our society, you know, He gives us living water. That water, you will thirst again. Right now, I am thirsty. I have something to drink, but guess what? That lemonade right there, I'm going to be thirsty in a little bit. You can go back here and get me a bottle of water. I can drink the whole thing, and guess what? I'm going to be thirsty in a little bit. It does not quench your thirst forever. It is the physical part of our body. Water helps for a short time, but Jesus has something that is more important than the physical water. He has the living water that goes inside of us. What does He say in verse 14? But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him, oh, listen to this, will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Folks, this is spiritual water. This is water that washes you white as snow. Jesus has come to give you eternal life. He has come, and what are we here? He has come to wash away our sins. And that's not down in the river whenever we get baptized. It is whenever we put our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Our sins are washed away once and for all. Folks, and we can look in Him and thank Him for giving us this living water. But this living water is available to everyone. Back when I was growing up again, and me and my dad went down to cemetery, I was trying to get him out of the house a little bit. Be praying for my dad. He's really struggling right now. But I was trying to get him out and distract him. So we went to the cemetery over at Benton Cemetery where all our family's buried. And down on the side of the cemetery, down past the cemetery, down in a gully down there, there's a spring. And that spring is just bubbling up. I asked Dad, "Hey, Dad, when was the last time you've been down there?" It's been years since I've been down there. I don't think I've been down there since I was a kid. But anyone can go down there and drink of that water. It's free. Doesn't cost you anything. You can't go to the store. You can't go up here to Exxon and buy living water. It's free. It's free for you. It's free for anyone that will partake of that living water. Because that living water is from God. And that living water is what cleanses us. And what does it say? It is springing up. Man, it just wells up in you. It saves you to the uttermost, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Man, that living water is running through you, and it saved you. You just can't go by it. You can't say, "I want some of that, so I'm going to go down here. I want some of that salvation stuff, India. Where can I buy it at?" Can't buy it, because the price has already been paid. And it was paid on the cross of Calvary so many years ago. But it's still free today because His grace, His mercy lasts for eternity. And I also look at this, and I might be reading this out of context, you know, but I look at this water springing up, that this water should be flowing out of us, telling other people how to get it. They should be seeing this living water. What did this woman say? You know, "Where is this water? Because I want some of it." She says in verse 15, and the woman says, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Because this Samaritan woman was an outcast. In that day, the Samaritan women, they would come and they would draw water in the morning time before it got too hot. But she was an outcast. The other women would not allow her to come with them. They did not want to be seen with her. So she come in the middle of the day to draw her physical water. And she met the man that gave her living water. And that's what I want you to do today. I want you to meet the man that gives you living water. So it's an extending grace to all. And that's what He has done for us. You know, this living water is extended grace. Grace is we get something that we do not deserve. He showed us grace in our life. Because I deserve hell because I am a sinner. But He saved me by grace so that I could have everlasting life. And I pray that you know Jesus this morning. I pray that you have received that. And if you have received the revelation of identity, you know that God is giving you because you have to acknowledge your sin. What did this woman say starting in verse 16? It says, "And Jesus said to her, 'Go call your husband and come here.' And the woman answered and said, 'I have no husband.' And Jesus said to her, 'You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one now will not, or now you have, is not your husband.' It is that spoken, or it, you have spoken truthfully on that." We have to acknowledge our sins. In order to get to Jesus, we have to realize that we're a sinner. And that's something we all are. I don't care if you're 1 year old or if you're 100 years old. you're a sinner. And I know people don't like that. They don't like to hear that. Well, my baby ain't a sinner. Yeah, sorry. But they are. Now, they have not reached the age, the age of accountability. They do not know what they're doing. They're just mocking, what others have done, but they are sinners, and God has come to save them and give them eternal life. We have to realize and acknowledge our sin. Have you acknowledged your sin? Do you know that you are a sinner in need of salvation? That you can't do it on your own? That you have to acknowledge that you need Jesus and you need to declare His mastership or messiahship. We need to make sure that we know who He is. In verse 26, He says, And Jesus said to her, let me back up to 25. And the woman said to Him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am He. And that's her or she or Jesus telling her that I am the Messiah. And she took that to heart, and she realized who Jesus Christ was because she went and it transformed her life because she met Jesus. And I will tell you, if you have an encounter with Jesus, you're going to leave different than you got there. That you're not going to be the same as when you got there. Because Jesus is going to do something within you whenever you meet Him. He is going to transform your life, and you're going to be a different person than who you were before. And whenever we accept Jesus, whenever we meet Jesus, we recognize we're a sinner, and we realize that He is the Messiah, that He has come to take away our sins. We ask for forgiveness, ask Him to be the Lord of our life. It has a response in the community around us. You may have the person that was the worst of the worst within your community, and they look at them and says, man, they're no good. They have no hope. They're just bound for hell. And Jesus saves them because He can and He will save them. They are transformed by the gospel, and now they go back into their community telling people about Jesus. It's going to make a difference in your community. Think of Paul. On the Damascus Road, he met Jesus. And then he went and he started preaching the gospel, and he impacted so many people, including us here today. Because he was what they call the apostle to the Gentiles. To us sinners. That God had Paul preach and write these books through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that show us how we as Gentiles are brought into the family of God, how we are grafted in. I see a lot of these, I guess it's the time of year it is that I see a lot of these videos of people grafting, different branches or different, shoots of a plant onto another tree. They would take one piece of the bark off of one, and then they would take that graft off of the other and put it on that one, and they would wrap it up in cellophane cellophane. They would wrap it up. And it would take root in that and it would start growing. And that's what He has done to us. We are grafted in to His family. Were we original members? No, but we were grafted in, and we are children of the Most High God. We're adopted into His family. So the woman had a testimony, and she was willing to tell that testimony to those around her. I love it whenever it says that in verse 28, and the woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I have ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. This woman, she left her water pot where it was because she was transformed because she had met the Messiah. And she went back into town and she showed them or told them about Jesus. She had a testimony. I want to tell you, this man that has told me all things that I have ever done. And what did it do? It impacted the town or the city around them. Because what did they do? They went out to meet the Savior. They went out to meet this Jewish man that had come to this woman, saved her. They went out to meet him because they thought he may be the Messiah that had came to them. And you have to have your belief in Jesus Christ. In verse 39, a little bit further down, it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, who told him all that I had ever did. So when the Samaritan had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Man, Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save that which is lost. So let's get out of our mind, you know, well, they don't look like us, they don't act like us, you know, they can't, you know, we don't want them to be part of us. Yes, we do, because we want people to know Jesus Christ and to be a part of his family, to recognize and to see what the love of Jesus Christ has done for us. So we have this response of the community over us being saved, of God making a difference in our lives. And I would ask you this morning, has the Lord made a difference in your life? And if he has, have you told someone? Have you told someone about Jesus Christ and his love for them? And I pray that you have, and I pray that if you have not yet, that whenever you leave this place today, you would go and you would tell someone that Jesus loves them. This I know. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. And he lives within my heart. I know he lives because he lives within me. I can feel him. I can feel the guidance of his Holy Spirit within my life. Am I always obedient? No. Do I need to work on that? Yes. We all need to be closer to the Lord and what he has asked us to do in our life. We have already taken advantage of his salvation. Let's lead others to know Jesus too this morning. All are welcome in God's house. All are welcome to come to know Jesus Christ. But whenever you come to know Jesus Christ, it comes with recognizing your sin, repenting of your sin, and giving your life to Jesus this morning. As we stand and have a time of invitation, I just ask that you just surrender your all to him today. And just be open to receive what the Holy Spirit has asked you to do this morning, that you would be obedient to him. Lord, we just come before your throne room, Lord, now just thanking you for all that you have done for us, Lord. Lord, just give us strength, Lord. Give us confidence, Lord. Give us a spirit of non-fear, Lord, that we would come before you. Lord, and we would tell others about you in our daily lives, Lord. Lord, I just ask that if there's someone here this morning that does not know you, that they would come to know you today, Lord. And others that have been struggling on what you would have them to do in their life, Lord, that they would surrender all to you, Lord, and that you would reveal to them, Lord, their gift, Lord, their purpose that they have. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.